afternoon, everyone. This is Fantasy Sports Today. This is Chris Meany. Hi, Chris.
I am.
I'm Ashley Docking.
Yeah. And that is Ashley. Yes.
Happy 50th birthday to the Star Trek TV show. I just wanted to show off. Chris, yeah. Can you do it?
I'm not even going to try.
Just try.
No.
Don't be a sour sport.
I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
I can do both. And we're done for the day.
That's very it. Talented.
Okay,
very
multi-talented. We're gonna do a lot of football today. A lot of football.
It's opening day. It's kickoff.
Right. It's
here we go.
Thursday night football. Mike Leone joins us. We're gonna talk about the customizable tool over on Daily Roto. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, and then today we're gonna talk about some running backs that they like. And then Jake Seeley joins us. We're gonna do weekly rankings with Jake. So we have his week one rankings. We talk quarterbacks, wide receivers, as well as running backs. But first. Because baseball season is not over yet.
No.
It's not over. Fantasy playoffs have started.
Yeah, in some leagues they've started. In none of mine they haven't, because you should start next week, but it doesn't matter.
Some people don't play by the rules, Chris.
If you have Steven Strasburg, you're scared right now.
Just like
he left yesterday's start. Yes, the Nationals fans are worried right now too. So he left yesterday's start just after 42 pitches in the third inning against the Braves. He felt a pinch in his elbow. He was already on the DL since August 17th. That was his first start back activated. This is worrisome for sure if you own him. And I would wait on the news today because he's scheduled for an MRI. We are live here, so we don't know officially what the extent of the injury is, but listen, if you're on the outside looking in and you need a spot and your DL spots are already taken, I know Strasburg, when he starts, he's fantastic, but he's been dealing with arm and elbow issues basically his whole career, so I'd drop him. I probably would, but again, just wait to see what happens today with the diagnosis. Dusty Baker said that he thinks that he's going to be fine, because usually when there's an issue, your command is off, and his command was fine. He was good last night in his start, but I'm really worried about him. Ronaldo Lopez could be a guy who can get some other starts. He's really good against teams like Atlanta, and again, something we talked about, some of these teams will play inside their division down the stretch. There's nothing better for Lopez to face Atlanta down the stretch, Miami, Philadelphia, the New York Mets, so it could be a favorable schedule for Nationals pitchers. Just one guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Strasburg's already had Tommy John surgery. He had it in 2010 after his rookie season, and he just signed a huge contract.
Yeah, he did.
Seven years, $175 million in May.
Oh, I know. It's so tough to give these pitchers. They just drop like flies sometimes. Tommy John is it's a thing. It's a big-time thing.
All right, Scott Kazmir.
Yes, not good.
Not good. He just came back, and he was doing a rehab start at that, and he couldn't even get through it. He had neck tightness, inflammation in his neck, which sent him to the DL last month. He came back in his rehab start, and it was the same old song, tightness in his neck, and then his pain in his ribs as well. That's troublesome. He is going to be pulled back a little bit. They're going to reevaluate his situation then. Jose De Leon, someone that we were talking about a little bit earlier, he's going to get starts, get to stay in the rotation.
Yeah, he's going to start next week against the Yankees. So he's awesome in his first start. He got the win. I know it was against the Padres, but he had 9K in six innings, an 18.6 swing strike percentage, which is off the charts. As you see there at the bottom, it's great. So he's going to get the Yankees. A potential two-star Kazmir, just go ahead and drop him. If you were, for whatever reason, hanging on to him, just go ahead and drop him. It doesn't matter if he comes back or not. He's not very good. And then we just have a couple other guys in deep leagues. If you're looking at two starts, because it is, you want to get that edge in fantasy baseball playoffs. It's all about the two starts. Especially if you have a category with just strikeouts and innings pitch and quality starts. Don't worry about ERA and WHIP. You can get those three over the two. That's how I go about things. Yurel Cotton had a pretty good start yesterday against the Angels. It was without Trout and Pujols, but he did go six innings, only gave up two hits, 3K. He's going to have two starts next week, potentially against Kansas City and Texas. Texas start, a little worrisome, but I would roll him out there against Kansas City. They're striking out a lot more than what we're used to seeing. Alex Mayer is a deep guy, too, who pitched in that game. Only had 60-some-odd pitches because it was his first real start in a long time, but he looked good. Other than the walks, he had four walks, but only gave up the one hit. He had 6K as well. And then Brock Stewart is another guy, just deep leagues. He's been pretty good in his last two starts, one against the Cubs where he had eight strikeouts in five scoreless innings, and another one against Arizona, one earned run in five innings too. So those are just some deep adds, some guys that are widely available that you can go ahead and pick up to help you out next week if you're in the playoffs.
A little bit of a stretch, but you got to do what you got to do and hope for the best.
For sure, yeah.
Someone that we're wondering, what's your deal, Byron Buxton? Because every time he went down to the minors, he absolutely smashed it. He was batting well over 300 consistently, and then he would get his call up, get his shot, and he would absolutely choke.
He would, yeah.
Just terrible. However, since September 1st, he's been pretty darn good. I think we have the stats here. He just hit his fifth home run. his 17th double Wednesday versus the Royals. He has four doubles in seven games since being recalled last. And it seems that he has finally hit his stride. Better late than never, as they say, for someone who was the number one prospect in baseball.
That's what I'm saying. The former teammate, Torrey Hunter, he said he's Mike Trout 2.0, and Trout struggled in his first real season in the big. So, I mean, Buxton's got a ton of talent. Andrew Benintendi's another guy who's got a ton of talent. Looks like he could be back next week. Widely available. A lot of people dropped him with the knee injury. They thought that he wouldn't come back this season. So 22% ownership in Yahoo and ESPN. Go and get this guy. The kid is for real. He's going to get back in that lineup, and the Red Sox score the most runs in all of baseball. So get him in there. We only got about a minute and a half to talk football. This is a good segue because Tim Tebow, former Bronco, has signed with the New York Mets, a minor league contract. Tim Tebow, he's a winner. Just call him up right now. Put him in the dugout. Mets have won 5 straight. They're tied for a wild card spot. I'm serious. Get him up in that lineup.
Pump your brakes. Pump your brakes.
Yeah, I know.
But let's talk about Thursday Night Football. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get Faith Hill to do her her football song.
We tried?
We did try. She was unavailable. Maybe next week we'll get her just to, bring in the new season.
Sure.
Broncos taking on the Carolina Panthers in a Super Bowl rematch.
Mm-hmm. Did we try Carrie Underwood?
No. No. Okay. You would be too distracted, I think.
Super Bowl rematch.
Carrie Underwood was
here. I'm already distracted.
She's married, Chris.
Mike Fisher.
We talked about this match before, and we talked to Keith Bullock about defenses, and he said that he thinks the Broncos defense might have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover, something to consider. They have a new quarterback that they're trotting out. Carolina pretty much has everything in place as they did last year with the addition of Calvin Benjamin, and as a result, are the favorites. 3 points.
Carolina's the favorite. 3 points. I'm in on Denver at home.
Really?
This is a good team. I mean, the defense they give Cam Fitz in the Super Bowl, 7 sacks. In 2 games that Cam has had against Denver, he's been sacked 15 times. He wasn't able to do anything against them in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And just that defense at home, and I got a wicked stat here for you. Super Bowl champs on opening day kickoff, 49-1. Not 49-1. 49-1.
As well as one.
That is a wicked record. And this is the first, I guess, Super Bowl rematch since like 1970. So that's kind of cool too.
And
on opening day, that is.
Fun facts, as we're doing fun facts. Since the early 1930s, no Super Bowl loser has made it back to the Super Bowl the following year. The last team to do it. The Buffalo Bills
went to the Super Bowl 4 times in a row and lost them all.
Camera 2. Drew, camera 2, Drew is big, big Buffalo fan. Yeah. All right, we're going to get it here. We'll be back in just a moment. Mike Leone joins us. We're talking running backs and a customizational tool that they have over on Daily Roto. We'll be back. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. If you missed the show yesterday, first of all, shame on you. We thought we were better friends. But we brought back one of the guys from Daily Roto, one of our favorites, Mike Leone, to talk about a new tool that the Daily Roto folks just rolled out, the customizable NFL DFS tool that is going to help you be very, very successful this year.
And how awesome is it?
Hi, Mike. It's amazing.
Yes.
Very in-depth.
Hey, Ashley.
Hi.
Yeah, we're really excited about this new tool. It's got the default projections from myself and Drew Dinkmeyer that you can check out and sort on FanDuel, DraftKings value, but also there are a bunch of fields that you can change yourself. So if you think certain players are going to get more volume than we project them to, so let's say you think Alshon Jeffrey, there's not a lot of guys there in Chicago, you think he's going to get this week because of the matchup 35% of the team's targets instead of what we have, you can change that in our tool and the projection will update automatically for you. So it's really cool for you to try out some different thoughts for GPPs, and also if you just happen to disagree with where we're setting the baselines on players, you can adjust that and then see a brand new projection right away.
Yeah, that's what I think is really cool. Yeah. I mean, your projections are fantastic. I mean, looking at them yesterday and just really rolling through all the teams, you got them all there, every player, they're right on par. Do you think that's the biggest perk, your selling point on people? I mean, not only can you get the seasonal subscription, you can get monthly, you can get weekly if you want, just try it out, you'll see how great it is and people can go forward that way, but do you think that's the biggest perk, is that people can go in and just change what they want and fool around with what they want?
Yeah, it's what I'm most excited about because, right, we're not always going to agree on how we assess situations. So if you see something a little differently than we do, you can still use our tools. Whereas some sites, when you just have a projection that's not changing, you don't really know what goes into it. We're showing you exactly what goes into it, and we're giving you the ability to change that if you don't agree with it. But in addition to that, I mean, we've got strategy articles each week, lineup alerts, so a lot of other stuff to help people that are new at DFS get acclimated really, really quickly.
And then when you go in and change it, you can realize the next week, wow, maybe I probably should have listened to Mike and Drew because maybe their projections are projections for a reason. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the guys that you are projecting to have successful week ones. And we'll start with Todd Gurley because other than Ezekiel Elliott, he's the running back everyone's talking about.
I love Todd Gurley. I'm really high on him week one. And it's ironic. I'm actually a little bit lower on him in season long than a lot of other people out there just because I'm worried about the pass offense there and the effect that trickles down into the running game. But week one, they're actually 2.5-point favorites. They're facing a San Francisco team that Chip Kelly's now the head coach. And the pace of that team is going to result in a lot of plays for the opposing team. So you're going to see so many rush attempts from Todd Gurley, and they're a bad defense. So quantity, quality, Gurley's an amazing back, especially as a rusher. We've got him pegged for about 100 rushing yards and a touchdown, which is really strong for like a median projection.
Love to hear it because although you advised against it in season long, he is on my season long team. So it's often a strong point though.
Another guy getting a lot of love and buzz is Spencer Ware. You know, doesn't look like Jamaal Charles is going to suit up this weekend against the Chargers. This seems like a fantastic matchup, just not for Ware, but what do you guys project for him this weekend?
We're projecting him to do really well, one of the top running back values on the entire slate. With Jamaal Charles looking like he's not going to play, it's going to be all Spencer Ware in the rushing part of the attack. And they're 7-point home favorites with a high team total. This is a team that will run in the red zone. Ware scored on 5 of his 7 touches inside of the 5 last year. He had a really good yards per carry. You've got it up there. It's 5.6 yards per carry. So, and like the icing on the cake here, the Chargers were 31st in rush defense DVOA according to Football Outsiders. So kind of like with Gurley, it's just the dream matchup, game script, quality, quantity, it's all there.
The perfect storm, if you will. Yeah. Something that's not going perfectly in Seattle, Thomas Rawls, looking like he might not even play in the first game. But what does that mean? See, Mike, value through the roof. And you know, if you've been watching the show, Chris Meaney
smiles.
Loves Mike. He's on every one of his teams, every single one of them. He got him. He traded for him.
He might.
You're a see Mike truther.
And I never have been. I've never have been until this year.
It's
like
a revelation.
Just really, just recently. Yeah. And it's more so of just not believing in Rawls as opposed to Michael. But it just looks like this is another good matchup. I mean, if they're going to put up a lot of points, it may run heavy and just lean on Michael in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you might be noticing a trend. It's the third running back that we have in a favorable game script. We're expecting a lot of rush attempts. They're 10.5-point home favorites. And I wasn't a Christine Michael truther before this year, but it seems like something's clicked this preseason. If you use the website called playerprofiler.com, it's got all the combine metrics and stuff. And Michael is an amazing athlete. He's in the 99th percentile in their Spark X score, which is an approximation of a variety of the different combine metrics that they run. So he's a really good athlete. If Rawls plays, it's looking like he might be more like 5 to 7 carries, and Seattle might run so much that that could still leave Michael with 15 plus carries and a lot of red zone work.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for your time as always. Make sure you guys go check out the customizable tool on Daily Roto. Give him a follow. His Twitter handle's on the screen.
Yes.
And good luck this week.
Thanks, Ashley. Thanks, Chris. Good luck.
Hey, enjoy the football, man. That tool is awesome. It's fantastic. I really, really encourage everyone to go check it out.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah,
which we love. Yeah,
I know.
It's great. I would go on that thing though and just
mess around,
bastardize all the numbers, and just come be like, look at my projection.
Well, that's what's really cool about it. I mean, their projections are fantastic, and Mike and Drew are all over this. But I mean, it's just really cool. If you disagree with them, you can change it and just kind of flirt around.
It allows you to have that like gut feeling, and then it adjusts everything for you.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, speaking of horrible gut feelings, Jake Seeley joins us next. We're gonna do weekly rankings with him throughout the entire football season. Actually looking quite forward to it. So right after the break, Jake Seeley will join us. Hey guys, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As promised before the break, Jake Seeley from Roto Experts joins us because we got to talk about his week one ranking, something we're going to do throughout the season. Jake, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing terrific, even though I think I have 3 hours of sleep this week so far.
Yeah, it's a busy one for all of us. We're very excited that football starts tonight.
Yes, tonight. Jake, all over fantasy. You can catch him Fantasy Radio from 7 to 10 every single day. And you just released your article on rotoexperts.com talking sleepers, DFS picks, weekly rankings. That's what we want to get into, Jake. We're going to talk just right from the get-go here on quarterbacks. Got your top 10 quarterbacks. And at number 5, you see Aaron Rodgers right up there at number 1. At number 5, Derek Carr. And then number 8, Matthew Stafford. Really just not picking on those two, but focusing on those two right now, because maybe people at home that are drafting and just really getting into fantasy is thinking, Derek Carr, he wasn't drafted in my league.
Derek Carr.
He wasn't a top 10 quarterback for me. I didn't take him. Why is he going to have a good week? So let's start with those two guys, Jake. Why Carr and why Stafford? Just seems like really good matchups for them.
Yeah, these are actually kind of the two names where everybody's who's like, oh, I don't know if I want to start Cam Newton, because every single year we say don't bench your studs, and these are the two where maybe you did draft with Cam Newton, or maybe they're actually still sitting there on your wire and you can plug them in instead of Cam Newton going against Denver tonight. Because Derek Carr, look, he had a great year last year and everybody wants to talk about taking the next step forward. The second half of the season wasn't that good, but a lot of that can be attributed to Amari Cooper not being 100%. For everything, for all the love we were throwing at Derek Carr in the offseason, to not like him in what should be a shootout against one of the weakest defenses in the league, I don't understand why people aren't more on board with Derek Carr. He's somebody that should go out and throw for at least 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game. It wouldn't surprise me if it's even more than that. He has two great options out there, as I mentioned, with Amari Cooper stepping forward. And then you go to Matthew Stafford. And we all know the thing is Jim Bob Cooter made this defense completely offense completely different last year. It took a huge step forward. Stafford was actually one of the best quarterbacks down the stretch. And now you bring in the fact that they have Marvin Jones stepping in to replace Calvin Johnson. Obviously, nobody's going to replace Calvin Johnson. But he might fit this offense a little bit better to give them a better balance with Anquan Boldin there and Eric Ebron taking a step forward. Whatever the situation may be, Stafford had better numbers last year. He's going to be in a shootout again with his offense and this offense that he's facing with the Colts. And the Colts, talk about a bad defense. It was already one of the worst, and they lost Vontae Davis. They have nobody to defend Golden Tate and Marvin Jones in this game.
Do you like these two guys going forward throughout the season, or is this specifically because of the matchup? This is the only reason I'm going to take a shot on them this week, and this is why they're ranked so high?
That's pretty much what they're going to be. Fringe QB1 guys where they'll be in the top 10 like they are this week, but they'll be on weeks where, you know, especially like, all right, Cam Newton's inside my top 10, but if they're facing Denver, they probably wouldn't crack my top 10. So there's somebody that's going to be a lot more affected by the matchups, not somebody that I'm just going to plug in every single week and say, ah, forget it, I'm just going to keep these guys as my starters. These are guys that you can play mix and match with, and that's why if you waited on quarterback, you can pair these guys with like a Tyrod Taylor or something like that and just reap the rewards at the end of the season. But yes, they are going to be very matchup dependent.
On the flip side of that, I know Phillip Rivers is somebody that you were high on in your season ranks, but this week he's 18, quarterback 18, matchup dependent.
Yeah, it's a lot to do with the matchup. Look, the last 2 years, the last 4 games against Kansas City, Phillip Rivers has been borderline abysmal. He's been averaging over just about 230 yards per game. He only has 2 touchdowns. Both of those came in one game 2 years ago at home. The 2 road games are actually 0 touchdowns and 3 interceptions with barely over 200 yards per game. This is not somebody you want to start. This is not somebody you want starting in Kansas City.
Yeah, true.
Let's go running backs then, shall we? Let's take a look at your top 20. I believe we have a list, and if not at least top 10. Here we go. Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Miller, Zeke Williams, who I love this week, Ingram, Freeman, Martin, McCoy. Let's talk about Freeman, because he's been someone that has actually dropped significantly in terms of the
ADPs.
In terms of the confidence that people have in him. They're actually wondering now if he's even going to be the starter halfway through the season. What do you think about him?
I do think he's not going to lose his job, but I think we're also talking about what we've been saying the entire offseason. This is a front office that spent a high pick on Tevin Coleman, that went into last year with Tevin Coleman as the starter, who did have 20 carries for 80 yards in the first week. That's not, oh my gosh, jaw-breaking, really, oh, I can't believe how good Tevin Coleman was, but that's still 4 yards per carry for somebody they thought would be the lead option. He is better between the tackles. Devontae Freeman, to get what he got out of last year, and just, look, they have to be thrilled. They basically have two good running backs that they want to get involved. involved. The only downside to Freeman is if they get him more involved, you're just talking about the opportunity share here, is how many touches he's going to get per game. That being said, as long as he's still the lead option, even if it's more 60-40 this year, maybe even 55-45, this is a team that's going to probably run a little bit more as they did last year. Freeman is the better pass catcher between the two. This is a nice matchup where they'll probably want to play a little bit of ball control. That's how Atlanta's going to win games this year. Atlanta is not looking to get into shootouts because their defense is not terrific. So they're going to want to control the clock a little bit. And by doing so, it's going to be a lot of Freeman and Coleman. So even if Coleman's involved more this year, it's not exactly a huge ding to Freeman. As you can see, that's why he's still in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Somebody you have just outside the top 10 at number 13, Ryan Matthews. I just want to know if this ranking has anything to do with the recent trade of Sam Bradford and Carson Wentz now going to be the starter. This is obviously a nice matchup against Cleveland, but how often do you think Carson Wentz is really going to throw the ball, and is this going to be a lot of dump offs maybe to Matthews and Sproles this week?
To be honest with you, I'm not that worried about Carson Wentz when it comes to this. It comes down to one thing. What have we always said about Ryan Matthews? He has the talent. He can't stay healthy. What is he right now?
He's healthy.
He's healthy.
Matthews, the backfield is his. Darren Sproles will probably be in the mix a little bit. This is another game that you're talking about that's if this game ends up 35-30 or 31, like, this is not going to be what we expected. We'd all be surprised come Monday. This is a game that we're probably expecting to see like 20-17. Which with a lot of running on both sides of the ball. So you don't want to ask Carson Wentz to pass the ball a lot in week one. But even if he is passing the ball 8 weeks from now, if Ryan Matthews is healthy, he's still going to be in the RB1 conversation. Because actually, if you look at Carson Wentz, he's a really good scrambler. And if anything, he might open up a few more lanes for Ryan Matthews because of the threat of him taking off with the ball. So it has not a lot to do with Carson Wentz. It just has to do with the fact that Ryan Matthews is healthy.
Yeah,
you got to take the opportunity while you can. Like, this is your shot. You need to use it.
That's why he makes for a decent DFS play as well, because he's healthy and he's ready to go.
So Arian Foster, use him right now, because you never know when you're going to get the chance again. Let's take a look at your wide receivers before we get out of here. Jake, you have Julio number one, Antonio, Odell. These three are obviously a given. DeAndre, Amari Cooper, Allen, Dez Bryant, Marshall, Watkins, rounding out the top 10. But are there any, because these are, you always say don't bench your studs. So these guys are, it's pretty much a given that you're going to roster them if you can, if you have the money to, if you're doing DFS, but are there any receivers, wide receiver two, wide receiver three, that you think are primed for big weeks in week one?
I love T.Y. Hilton this week. I just talk about the fact that I think this is going to be a shootout. I really look at this game, and as I mentioned, two secondaries that can't stop anybody, two defenses that can't stop anybody. As long as the offensive line can keep Andrew Luck upright for most of the game, hey, give him two sacks. I don't even care. Just he can get hit a little bit. Just let him survive the game, put it that way. Andrew Luck will probably throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns in this game to keep up. It's funny to say, but to keep up with the offense on the other side with Jim Bob Cooter and Matthew Stafford. This is two offenses that are going to go at it. This is one of those games where if you play in Vegas lines, I would be looking at the over quite a bit here. I think T.Y. Hilton, people forget how good he was 2 years ago when he missed a game and basically didn't even play the last game of the season because they pulled all their starters in the first game, is that he was a wide receiver one with basically 14 games played. They see the super highs and think he's inconsistent. It's not as inconsistent as people are tending to believe. So T.Y. Hilton is a wide receiver one that I think could have a huge day. He's somebody that I've plugged into one or two of my DFS lineups.
You got two Colts inside your top 30. You got two Raiders inside your top 30. Crabtree is there. You got two Packers inside your top 20. We only got about 45 seconds or so before we're out of here. Randall Cobb, 17. Jordy Nelson, 13. Are you worried at all about Jordy Nelson and just the fact
snap
that he may be on a snap count here?
It's supposed to be 60-70, but it's Jordy Nelson. And I'll tell you one thing is if Aaron Rodgers rolls out and throws it downfield and he's looking for that guy to hit that big home run play and catches the ball, you know in your mind who it is. It's Jordy Nelson every single time. He does it almost every single week. All he needs is a 50-yard catch for a touchdown, and you're going to be happy that you kept Jordy Nelson in your lineup.
Absolutely.
Jake, today, the 50th anniversary of Star Trek airing on TV. Can you do this?
There you go.
No, move up over the other way.
There you go, baby.
Which is my left and which is my right?
I don't know, so I just said the other way. All right, Jake, thank you so much. We'll see you next week for your week two rankings, and good luck this week.
All right, thanks.
No problem. See, he's a good sport. At least he tried.
I tried.
Bye. See ya.